Hello, this is Daniel Jowkett.
And this is Manton Reese.
And this is Core Intuition, simultaneously great and frustrating. Manton, how much do you think this new gold Apple Watch is going to cost?
My opinion hasn't changed. Usually every week my opinion changes, not this time. See last episode.
I don't think we've quite beat this to death, though. I think it's still...
This episode will be 3 hours long.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about it again.
The accidental gold watch valuation podcast. I think there might be... I was actually joking about this because on Twitter I was joking. You know, like there's a clear spectrum of some podcasts are more profitable than others because of the target audience that they attract. So, for example, techie podcasts are more profitable than, I have to assume, than like what kind of feed do you feed your animals on the farm podcasts. I don't know. I'm going out on a limb there. I could be totally wrong. Yeah. But there's all these people who are going to buy this Apple Gold Watch, and they're going to need a podcast called the Apple Gold Watch Podcast. You know, the podcast that's good enough for you.
Remember the App Store app a few years back that was called I Am Rich?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Maybe that's...
So, yeah, you get like Apple... it has to be like... I don't know. The problem is the hosts would have to go out and make an initial investment buying a gold Apple Watch, right? So they could both be... Assuming it's two people, they could both be like, hey, isn't it great to have an Apple Gold Watch? Yeah, it sure is. Hey, what kind of new gold watch tips do you have this week? Oh, I don't know. I was just sitting here with my gold watch, and I wondered, is my time the same as other gold watch people? I don't know. Let's find out.
Every week you could have a different band that you review.
Yeah, right. A different band, preferably, you know, third party and exceeding the thousands of dollars. And then what you do is you get like Bentley and other, I don't know, companies I've never even heard of because they're too rich for me. They sponsor the show and they spend like $10,000 per, like $100,000 per sponsorship because the stuff they're trying to get these people to buy, like we take sponsorships on this show from wonderful companies who sell wonderful products that are like $50, right? And if you're selling a Bentley and there's a podcast out there that's all about Apple gold watches, man, just saying, Lex Fridman, look it up. Anyway.
So what have you been really up to? We don't want to go and talk about the watch for even another half an hour. What else have you been working on? What have we missed while we've been so preoccupied with the watch stuff?
Oh, it's pretty exciting times here at Red Sweater Central. There's this app called Clarion, which is a really groundbreaking music interval recognition app that I have previously mentioned. I wrote in the 90s, and it's still for sale. And in fact, you know, I talked a few episodes back about how I was stuck in App Store approval limbo. I think I neglected to ever bring back the fact that I actually it's in the store now. And it's been for sale now for, let me see, I'm looking at app figures now. It's been for sale for, I think, like 3 weeks now. And let me tell you, Manton, I have had 7 sales. So watch out, Ooh. Buddy. Profit.
Well, what's missing is the gold edition of that app.
That's right. Well, kind of exciting. I have a really good trend line. You know, when you start off at nothing and then you go to 7 sales in, it's actually been, I misspoke. Let's see. It's been, it's been about 3 weeks. You get a great trend line because everything's up, baby. Yeah. And I've had a profit of $47.59. I have, this is just like me, Marco Arment, Jared Sinclair, the Monument Valley people. We are all coming clean, becoming really transparent with our sales. And I've made an average of $1.59 per day. So I'm not sweating it either.
It's a labor of love.
I think, Manton, I might have some attention issues because I get really distracted and I decide to put efforts into things like Clarion. And then I also have things that I might be avoiding, like good things, but like, you know, NS conference is coming up.
Oh yeah.
And I'm going to be attending and I'm going to be speaking and I'm proud and excited about that. But as usual, I am terrified. I don't think I've spoken in the past. You know, we've been doing this show together now for 6 years. And I don't think I've spoken at a conference where I didn't express to you my state of being petrified. And then I don't think that I've, in all that time, also, I don't think that I've had a conference I spoke at where afterwards I didn't express to you the fact that, oh, it was fine. Everything went okay. It was all right. But nothing changes the fact that every time it comes around to a week or two before the speaking date, oh, it's a terrible feeling. And I may be investing time in every other single thing I can think of doing besides working on my talk. Have you ever done that before? Have you ever just done everything but one thing? Is that like a habit you have?
Pretty much, yeah. You know, I don't know. I procrastinate on some things, and other things I'm just busy and just don't have time to get to everything. And there's always that one project that no matter what else is overdue and needs to be done is the most important thing. And I have trouble sometimes setting aside that the most important thing ever, even for, you know, hours or a day or a couple, to work on those secondary things that are also very important and also are overdue that I should have worked on 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I didn't because I had that one super important thing that keeps jumping to the top of the list. And yeah, with conferences, oh man, that really requires some creative scheduling because you have to work on it consistently to prepare a talk. You can't just at the last minute wing it. Usually I can't. At least
I can't either. I hate those people who can. I hate that I was kind of blessed with a little bit of improvisational panache, but yet I don't get any of the benefits of that. Like if I don't, like psychologically, I think I have to prepare a lot. And I know these people who are like, yeah, well, I kind of ruin it if I prepare it all. So I just kind of roll into town and jump up on stage and I don't know. Then these people always seem to me to have like slides that were worked on by professional designers and blah, 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 blah. But anyway.
I'm not always convinced by that. There are some people who can truly wing it. But I think there's a larger percentage of people that look like they're winging it, but they have so much experience and they have so much material they can reuse that they can pull that off and make it seem effortless. But it took a lot of work to get there. It took a lot of talks, a lot of slides, a lot of material, a lot of writing, things, you know, related to that subject. It took them a lot of work to get to the point where it looks like they can pull it off quickly.
Yeah.
But so when is the conference? It's coming up. How soon?
Yeah. I need to make a good commitment also to remembering when the conference is.
Oh, dear. Well, last time we talked about conference, this was a problem because I think it was CocoConf and you thought you were speaking on Saturday and you were actually speaking on Friday or something like that.
And, you got it.
Yeah. So yeah. You need to get this together.
I need to get my S together here. Yeah, well, it would be bad in this case, especially since I, you know, the CocoConf conference, it was like, oh, really? I'm speaking tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Oh, yeah. Well, it's a good thing I live, you know, 30, 45-minute drive from the venue. And in the case of NS Conference, it's in Leicester in England. So it's on March 16th. But see, I have to remember I have to leave here on March 14th because of something time zones. And apparently I can't just roll out of bed on March 16th and attend NS conference. But, you know, I'm excited about it. I love going to England. I love Scotty's conferences. I love the vibe of everything, you know, the way he puts on a conference, people he attracts to both speak and attend. It's always, you know this, Manton, you've been there.
Oh, yeah.
It's always a really high class affair in none of the stuffy ways and in all of the like classic good people ways. So I'm looking forward to that. And of course, as we mentioned, it's the last one. So it's kind of like end of the era type of deal. But I just listened. I just caught up to Scotty's you know, Scotty and John Fox do the iDeveloper podcast. I can never remember what it's called. I listened to it, but I can't remember if it's iDeveloper.tv or iDeveloper podcast or, you know, I've kind of glazed over that. But we'll link to it. And there's a great spot in the most recent episode as we record where Scotty explains why he – have you listened to this yet, Matt?
I haven't. No, I'm a couple episodes behind. I missed that.
Yeah, it's not a huge, like, in-depth explanation, and it makes sense, but it's good, because he just said, basically, he says, look, there's a lot more conferences out there now than there were, 7 years ago, when he first started CocoConf. So,
NSConf, yes.
NSConf, sorry, yeah.
That's the problem, right? There's so many. It's hard.
It's all the same. No, it's not all the same. These are both great conferences, but totally different, and neither could replace one the other. But he has a great point that, like, there's a ton of conferences now. And basically, he said when he started NS Conference, he really felt like he was fulfilling a void. Like, there wasn't an obvious place to go and, like, be kind of like a community oriented, still educational, but like community oriented conference. And, you know, it was time when basically, well, we had like C4 at the time, I think, still in the US. But he really felt like he could make a valid contribution. And by the nature of the scarcity, it was just like, you know, comparatively easy, I think. People just came. And, you know, he made a point of saying it's not like they're in dire straits or anything. They're still selling good amount of tickets for their shows. But he kind of said, you know, like, it's a hustle. Like, I'm reading into it a little bit, but he says he doesn't want to be a salesman. He doesn't want to have to sell his conference. Mm-hmm. And it's not like – so I liked it because it's not like he's going out with, like – well, everybody stopped paying to come to my conference. It's more like I had to start working to get people to come to my conference, and that's not what I got into this for. Like, he's basically saying, the way I read it was he's basically got better things to do with his time than hustle to get people to come to his conference.
Hmm. Yeah.
So I say more power to him. He made a point, again, of reiterating that it doesn't necessarily mean the end of anything public he might do. He said he might do something smaller scale. He might even do something next year. Like, he's not saying anything beyond the fact that NS Conference is no longer going to take its current form, which makes me glad, as I said, and I know I'm reiterating some of the same stuff from a previous show, but makes me glad to be able to be there and send off what was a great conference. So I'm excited, but as I said, terrified that, you know, I got to do all this getting on stage and stuff.
Yeah. That's great. You're going to be there. I'm sorry to miss it. And it's just a weird time too. I always thought that I would go back and bring my family and we'd do stuff in Europe, and just March is not the right time for us to ever do that. It hasn't worked the last couple of years. It's never going to work. We are looking at a trip to Europe in the summer, but of course, you know, there won't be any conference as part of that, unfortunately. But it's going to be great. I'm glad you're there. And I don't know, just it's coming up a couple of weeks. So maybe just set aside a little time every day to work on that. You know, it's one of those things when you put it off, you just got to carve out like every day at this time, put five slides together.
And you're right. It's one of those things where, 2 hours a day is way better than 10 hours all at once. It's the kind of thing where it has to percolate. It's like,
exactly,
you know, getting it incrementally built up. And this is one of those things too, where since I've known what the topic was for a long time, I've been sort of hashing it out in my head for a while. But it's always kind of like a fear that when you finally try to put it down into a cohesive outline or slides or whatever, that there's not going to be any there. It's just going to be like, so I like this idea. Don't you agree with me? Like, pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, for me at least, it's like the idea, there needs to be time where I can think of things that go along with, you know, like one idea leads to another and then different points. And that can't happen within just a few hours or a couple of days. It has to happen over, you know, like you have some slides together and you have the structure of this, and then you're out walking or shopping or running an errand or something unrelated. And because you have that structure of kind of what the talk is and you've got some slides, you think of things that will go into that well. And
yeah,
that happens over time. That kind of process, at least for me, can't happen all at once. It has to happen. It has to kind of reveal itself and mature over time. And hopefully, you know, the other problem I usually have is I'll think of something great and I'll have to write it down immediately, because those ideas, if you're out and about doing something else, at least for me, they come and go very easily. And I will forget things and I'll know I was onto something that would work in the presentation, but it, you know, it slipped away and I can't get it back.
Yeah, I actually use Siri a lot for this kind of thing now.
Oh, well.
And if anybody overhears me, I just sound ridiculous because I'm like, add to NS conference talk ideas, you know, blah, 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 blah. But you can, you know how you can use Siri to manage your lists. And so you can just be, if you make a list, well, you could just use your main list. You could just say, add to reminders, talk about Manton's great idea in my NS conference talk, right? And then that's locked in. But you can also make your own special customized list. So you could make, like, if you got something looming out there where you know you just need to be collecting ideas and they need to all go in one spot, make a new list in reminders. Call it the, you know, big bad obligation list. And then you just go, Siri, add to my big bad obligation list, you know, whatever your idea of the moment is. And that's a real, real good way to make sure you catch those things. Because I agree with you. And one of the fears is you're going to have all these great ideas for what would have been great points in the talk, and then you don't remember them. And it's like some of them, well, you could argue, like, if they're that forgettable, they're not good ideas, but that's not how my brain works anymore. My brain's getting a little Swiss cheesy.
Yeah, no, I think that some of the best ideas come through that kind of process because they're not obvious. If they were easy to remember, then there's stuff that everyone else already knows anyway, probably.
Yep.
Anyway, best of luck preparing. That's going to be a great trip. That's going to be fun. We'll look forward to revisiting that on a future show and kind of wrapping up that conference and see, you know, like you said, end of an era.
End of an era.
I can't wait to hear how it goes. Okay, this week we are happy to be sponsored again by Smile Software. And this week they want to talk about their Mac app, PDF Pen. This is for the Mac and iOS, but on the Mac, specifically, there's a brand new version, PDF Pen 7 and PDF Pen Pro 7, and a bunch of new features. One of the highlights of that is it's been updated to have a Yosemite interface, right? So it's like all the controls are updated. You've got some of the vibrancy. It just looks like it fits better in with Yosemite. There's improvements to OCR, lots of context-sensitive pop-up menus, so things are a little more context-aware of what you're working on in the PDF document. Compatibility with iCloud Drive, and a whole bunch of features into their PDF editor. And if you haven't checked PDF Pen out before, well, what is it? Well, you know probably that your Mac comes with Preview, this basic like PDF viewing app, and it can do some basic things, but you usually will run into some limitations where you need like a full featured app. So maybe you want to rearrange pages easier, you want to edit some things, you want to change forms or fill in forms that aren't working correctly in some PDF document that you've got. There's a whole bunch of advanced PDF stuff, and maybe you don't hit this every day, but you will eventually hit some PDF thing that you can't do. You can't create the PDF you want. You can't edit the PDF that someone gave you. And that's where PDF Pen really shines.
Yeah, you know, Manton, they've also teamed up with David Sparks, who is great. He has his own podcast. He's a great presenter, great communicator, and actually just went indie himself. He's a lawyer who just went indie, and I think he's still doing law independently, but also is able to put more time into this cool stuff like these video tutorials he made for Smile. So there's a whole bunch of great little tutorials. They're just like 2 to 4 minutes each, and you can learn a variety of things about PDF Pen. So you can do this, of course, before you even decide to buy the app. But among the kinds of things you can learn is how to apply markup to a PDF, add your signature, fill in PDF forms, Use iCloud or Dropbox to sync. Touch up images in your PDFs. Use OCR to scan, to convert scanned documents into readable, searchable text. And correct and redact parts of your PDF documents. So a bunch of different stuff. I would say if you are intrigued by the idea of PDF Pen, and I think you should be, just, you know, make a commitment to go over to smilesoftware.com/coreint and click on the screencasts. They're linking to David Sparks' screencasts. Take a look at one of them. Take a couple minutes to see, you know, a video presentation of how powerful this app is and what it can do for you and your PDF workflows.
Great. Well, thanks again to Smile Software for sponsoring the show. They've been a great supporter of the podcast. It's great to have them on board. And definitely check out PDF Pen 7. You can learn more at smilesoftware.com/coreint. All right, Daniel, well, you were just talking about following up on Clarion and how it was finally approved. It's in the App Store and kind of the process you went through. I have been using the new Test Flight from Apple and kind of going through this review process again. It's been kind of interesting. And this is, you know, for everyone probably knows this, but the old Test Flight that Apple acquired actually shut down last week. Like, it's done. And they were really aggressive. Like, they kept emailing, like, this is going away. No, we're serious. And literally, I think at like midnight GMT, like, you try to visit Test Flight, the old site, and you're redirected to an Apple page. So it's gone. The new Test Flight is really interesting. The twist with it is that it works with Apple ID, so you don't have to have people's, you know, device IDs, which is great. That's such a hassle to have to update provisioning profiles and whatnot. That is excellent. You can have 1,000 external testers. The gotcha, though, is, as people probably know, if you do the external testing, you have to be approved the first time. And I've been through this with two apps now, and the process seems to basically be, you know, you upload a build, you ask for approval, you wait 24 hours. Usually it's about a day. It's not 7 days or 10 days. And then hopefully you get approved, and then you can start sending out builds. And then when you do new builds, you can check the checkbox that says there's nothing really significantly changed, and they won't approve it again. They won't have to deal with it. It just goes straight out to testers. But there's two things I've run into that I find really annoying. The first is, they will reject things in this approval process.
I guess that's why they have the process, right?
Right. But so I was still kind of surprised, because this is a beta, right? This is not a complete app by definition. And so I was rejected twice for two things that I find ridiculous. One was something we've talked about on the show before, linking out to Safari, right? To sign in.
Yeah.
Rejected for that. I actually pulled that feature just to get the beta approved. And then, of course, I added it back and said there were no major changes. Sorry, Apple.
Manton.
The whole process. I, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. How do you define what's a major change?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's just another thing to make you worried about unnecessarily about stuff. It's kind of like the problem I face with Mars Edit remaining unsandboxed in the Mac App Store. And they say, well, you can do bug fixes. Well, let me tell you all the different ways I have found to phrase every manner of change as a bug fix.
It's hard to know. And I thought about, like, okay, is this something that should be approved again? And this, I mean, there's other changes, and then I added some things back and some things were removed and some were just bug fixes. I don't know. It's all kind of a gray area. But I think the gist of the approval process is really, like, they shouldn't have to approve every single thing you do. And my interpretation of major changes is, yeah, no, something a lot bigger and something down the road, not the next day.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm not following the exact letter of the law there. But the bottom line is, this is a beta that's going out to like 5 people or 10 people.
Right.
I'm not sending 1,000 people like as a public beta or something. This is a small group of people, and it's kind of ridiculous for Apple to approve these to begin with.
Right.
I don't know. That's kind of how I feel about that. And there was another thing that they rejected for, and I fixed that issue, and that was a real thing. But the process just was frustrating, because Test Flight, the old Test Flight, was dead. And of course, in the meantime, while I was waiting for this approval process, it took several days to go through this approval process for this particular beta. I still sent out builds like with Crashlytics, you know, and you know, you can use whatever else you want. So you're not stuck just using Apple stuff, but there are a lot of advantages to using Apple stuff. Another limitation I ran into is you can only do 2 builds a day. That surprised me. I tried to do a third build and they were like, sorry.
Seems kind of arbitrary, huh?
You have to
wait
14 hours or something to do.
Weird, and, yeah.
Again, it's just one of the – they have such a beautiful system set up here to make it so easy for users to test apps. I don't really get throwing the little roadblocks in there. And I guess they want to limit abuse. But again, I'm sending this to 5 people, 10 people, maybe 20, 30. I know some people have hundreds, but like – I'm confused why they are obsessed so much about rejecting and approving beta features months before the app is ready, right?
Right. Well,
And I like when I appealed one of the rejections, I was like, guys, like this app is like, it's not done. You know, I mean, feel free to reject it 2 months from now when the final version is done. But right now, I'm just trying to get people to test the app.
Yeah, but that's I could see how there's a little gray area because they are now in the position that they are literally acting as, again, as the gatekeepers between your software and their customers who, yes, have opted in to be your testers. But it's kind of like once you get that mentality that you are going to act as the gatekeeper for what runs on your customers' devices, then it must be like just kind of second nature to say, well, we got to go through the whole approval process.
Right. But apps, should they really need to be approved twice? That's what I don't understand. It's like, should this approval thing is annoying enough? Why now go through it twice? Because that's basically, if everyone switches to test flight, that's what's happening. Like now we're doubling the problem.
Yeah.
Like we're not improving the approval process. Now you've got to go through it 2 times.
Right, and maybe more, depending on how you define minor changes, right?
Exactly.
Another thing, well, here's one thing. I heard that there's this new feature that people are liking, too, about test flight that lets you set up groups. So maybe you could set up a group. It was like 4 or 5 people who are like your insider like testing crew. And maybe that could be like – maybe there could be like an option on groups that say – hey, when people join this one, warn them that this stuff isn't going to be reviewed before. You know what I mean? Like, because it kind of seems like the policy is there to protect the 1,000 tester groups, where you're like basically making it a free for all, where you're saying like, come one, come all, test my app, and then it's like starting to approximate like mass distribution on the app store.
I think you're right.
But if you could say, by the way, Apple, this group of 5 people is like my inside crew, and they are totally up for it. then maybe, I don't know.
And I guess maybe Apple's answer to that is use internal
testers
instead. Like, but there's trade-offs with that too. It's like they have to be iTunes Connect users. And what if they're not really, really internal? Like, I mean, they're your trusted people, but they're not like, they don't work at your company.
Right.
Right. They don't need access to your app and iTunes Connect or whatever comes along with that.
You know, there's another complaint about this testing stuff, actually also from the iDeveloper podcast with Scotty. He was saying how annoying it is that you can't submit builds even for beta testing if they were built with the beta versions of Xcode. So
weird.
So like you got like, you know, you're on board, you're like gung-ho, you're like, hey, Apple, woo, good job getting another version of Swift out. Swift 1.2 is awesome. I'm going to start making my apps in Swift 1.2 today. And then you're like, I can't actually send this to my beta testers because Swift is 1.2 is beta. So that seems like almost seems like it's just an oversight. Like it almost seems like it's an oversight falling out of the fact that they strapped this whole beta testing apparatus onto the normal build submission process, right? Like
exactly. Yeah, they didn't create a brand new system exactly, for better or worse. Not unlike how they kind of repurpose some of the iTunes Music Store infrastructure.
Yeah,
apps.
Right.
There's problems with that.
I still think my best-selling album is Mars Edit. I think it still refers to apps as albums in some contexts.
Gosh. Overall, I mean, I give Apple credit for improving the platform. Like the new iTunes Connect is a lot better. Like I think the process of submitting apps how you deal with versions of apps and, you know, managing screenshots or whatever. Like the parts of iTunes Connect that have been updated, they've done a good job. I think they're making progress. And of course, sometimes you'll click on something that hasn't been updated and all of a sudden you get the old, you know, ancient looking iOS 6 appearance, iTunes Connect or whatever that, that doesn't fit anymore. But overall, it's good stuff. And it's frustrating when I get so excited about something and like, oh no, here's the gotchas. You know, the thing you mentioned with the betas, the two builds a day, the kind of weirdness with, do you need to have this approved or do you not? And full disclaimer, I don't recommend any developers like try to trick Apple with that. I kind of exaggerated a little bit what I was doing there. I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but it is a weird process. And I think it's not reasonable for Apple to approve every beta build you do. And so there's some kind of line in there where you have to decide the first one gets approved, then I'm going to do a bunch of betas, and then maybe a month in, I'm going to let them approve it again as like a milestone, as like a yeah. checkup, like, here's what I've got. You know, are you still cool with what I'm doing? Because going through even a 24-hour approval process before each beta is ridiculous. But I can see, you know, maybe I'll do that. Maybe in a couple weeks I'll say, all right, there have been some major changes that have accumulated over the last few weeks. Go ahead and approve this one again.
Yeah, do it at a downtime when you're about to go out of town for the weekend and you don't care if they approve it.
Exactly. You know, or maybe it's before the weekend when I know I'm doing something else. Like, okay, go ahead and approve this one. Have fun with it.
Right. get your rocks off, Apple.
Anyway, it's funny. I've been just going through this lately and I don't know. It's simultaneously great and frustrating. So thanks for letting me rant about that.
It's okay, Manton. Just lie back on the couch and we will be done with this session in another 25 minutes. But in all seriousness, Manton, I think it's time for us to wrap up this show. And I will be speaking with you again next week, one more week before I take off to England for NS Conference. But hopefully I won't be a complete neurotic mess any more than usual. And hopefully I'll have a couple more sales of Clarion. And you will have all your beta tests approved by the powers that be.
Sounds good. Good luck with the talk. And next week when we record, I think the Apple Watch event, the new next second event, the final event, I guess, before it ships, will have been out. So maybe we'll revisit the watch briefly, see what the actual prices and ship dates and all that great stuff turns out to be.
Yeah, I think we should talk a lot about the price of the gold watch. At some point, we should really just kind of dive right into that.
We haven't given that enough attention yet.
No. All right, well, thanks again to our sponsors, Smile Software. PDF Pen 7 is out for the Mac. It's great. Please go check it out, smilesoftware.com/coreint. And what the heck, you know, if you're feeling crazy and supportive of our show, go ahead and drop them a tweet at Smile Software and tell them how happy you are that they continue to support us. You can drop us a line anytime you like, feedback@coreint.org. Only a request I have to make on that front, Manton, is people should not email us about how mean we are for not supporting Swift more enthusiastically. And they should not write in to tell us that we are boring them to tears about the Apple Gold Watch, because we know.
Yep.
Registered. Complaint registered and understood.
Noted. And we haven't talked about Swift actually in a while, but I'm sure it will come back up soon when we play with that some more.
I look forward to that. And thanks so much, everybody, for listening.
All right. Talk to you next week.
See ya.